Like what you hear? Tell your friends. Thanks for listening to HRNRadio.com.
And good day. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to Backbeat Radio. It is December 8th, if you're tuning in live, December 8th, 2017, here on HealthyLife.net. Maybe you're listening way into the future. Who knows? That's the day that this show debuts. Backbeat Radio comes to you live the second Friday each month at 9 a.m. Pacific time here on HealthyLife.net Radio, hosted by yours truly, Jay Cruz. Today, a whole lot of music news, Backbeat Word on the Street. Let's get started. Longtime Guns N' Roses keyboardist Dizzy Reed, who joined the group in the Use Your Illusion era, has announced the release of his debut solo album early next year. It'll be a 12-track release entitled Rock and Roll Ain't Easy and is set to be released on February 16th. Reed has given fans an early taste of what's to come with a stream of his track, This Don't Look Like Vegas. The song, which can be streamed online, features vocals from Almighty frontman Ricky Warwick. The album is also said to feature a guest appearance from Reed's GNR bandmate Richard Fortas, who plays guitar. Track listing includes songs This Don't Look Like Vegas, Mother Teresa, Cheers to Our Oblivion, Fragile Water, Dirty Bomb, Mystery in Exile, I Celebrate, Understanding, Crestfallen, Forgotten Cases, Reparations, and Rock and Roll Ain't Easy. And Dizzy should be doing some dates here in the Southern California area with his side band project called Hookers and Blow. That's a very tongue-in-cheek name, and they'll be on St. Rock final week of the year, I believe 28th or 27th of December, with all-female Guns N' Roses tribute band Paradise Kitty opening up that show. If you happen to be in Southern California, check them out. And look for Dizzy's album online next year. The guy's kind of been behind the scenes with GNR for a long time. Definitely glad to see him be still in the fold, especially after their successful world tour just wrapped up a couple weeks ago. Well, fans will soon be able to witness Stone Temple Pilots perform on tour with their brand new frontman, Jeff Gutz, who was recently confirmed as the replacement for the late Scott Weiland. Back on November 14th, when I was at the Wiltern in Los Angeles checking out former Oasis singer Liam Gallagher's debut solo tour coming to the States, Stone Temple Pilots did a very special show for, I guess, SiriusXM listeners randomly selected through some lottery or something, of which I don't have SiriusXM, so I wasn't part of it. Anyway, they played at the Troubadour, a very intimate nightclub here in L.A., one that's pretty well known over the years. Heck, John Lennon played back there during his four-year-long Lost Weekend. And they debuted their new singer, Jeff Gutz. Now, the STP, Stone Temple Pilots, have previously released Meadow, their first song with the new lineup, and this week announced a short tour this coming March, followed by some music festival appearances in the spring. They'll be kicking off things March 2nd in Santa Clarita, California at the Canyon, and wrapping up the track March 17th. Should be a nice St. Patrick's Day shindig in Billings, Montana at the Pub Station Ballroom. Nope, they're not playing big places on this tour. A couple medium-sizers, but mostly smaller venues. The band will also be playing a handful of leading spring music festivals, including Welcome to Rockville, Fort Rock, and Rock on the Range. Guitarist Dean DeLio said, "We are thrilled to see all of you and sharing the music that belongs to all of us." He stayed up all night on that press release, but he stayed up writing new songs on the album, so we'll give him a pass. STP tour dates include March 2nd, Santa Clarita, California at the Canyon, San Diego on the 4th at the Observatory. They'll be in Pasadena at the Rose on March the 8th. So they're taking a little bit of time off in between those first few shows and kind of getting all over the L.A. area. They'll be in Vegas at House of Blues on March 9th, the Marquee in Phoenix, Arizona on the 10th of March, the Fillmore in San Francisco. I saw them there with Scott Weiland back when they released their second album. Yeah, they'll be there on March 12th. That just brought back some memories all of a sudden I wasn't expecting to remember. Sacramento's Ace of Spades, STP, will be there on the 13th of March. Roseland in Portland, Oregon on the 15th. Boise, Idaho's Knitting Factory on the 16th. And the 17th, Billings, Montana at Pub Station Ballroom. Then I'll take a little time off and play the festivals. Jacksonville, Florida's Welcome to Rockville Festival. Fort Lauderdale, Florida on the 29th. of April at the Fort Rock Festival in Columbus, Ohio at Rock on the Range on May the 20th. Well, Foreigner, Whitesnake, and Jason Bonham, son of John Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening, have all announced they'll be teaming up next summer for the North American Jukebox Heroes Tour. The trek is scheduled to kick off June 15th in Bangor, Maine at Darling's Waterfront Pavilion. It'll run until August the 1st, where it'll wrap up at the Irvine, California at the Five Point Amphitheater. Foreigner's Mick Jones said, "I'm excited to join forces with my fellow UK countrymen David Coverdale and Jason Bonham for what's sure to be rockin' summer tour of the States." Never one to be a loss for words, David Coverdale, frontman for Whitesnake, said, "We're truly excited and looking forward to playing in 2018 with our friends Foreigner and Jason Bonham on their North American tour." Jason Bonham couldn't stay silent. He said, "Being part of Foreigner's 40th anniversary tour last summer was wonderful, and opening a show like that was very special to me. So when Mick asked if I'd do it again in 2018, I said yes without hesitation. I'm excited the Whitesnake will be filling out the middle slot this time, as I've known David since I was 14 years old. It's going to be a whole lot of fun." And that was in capitals for emphasis. Pearl Jam have announced dates for shows in South America and Europe next year. The band will open their 2018 live schedule with a four-date run in South America in March. That will see them play the Lollapalooza festivals in Chile, Argentina, and Brazil, as well as headline the concert in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, and assume Rock in Rio. Pearl Jam will kick off their 14-date European tour in Amsterdam on June 12, with the run delivering the group's first performance in Rome since 1996 and first-ever concerts in Padova and Krakow. They'll also play a series of festival dates, including appearances at Pink Pop in the Netherlands, Italy's I Days, Belgium's Rock Worcester, Spain's Mad Cool, and Portugal's NOS Alive events. A ticket presale has started for current Pearl Jam 10 Club members, with information detailing on-sale dates by city available at YouGotItPearlJam.com. Now, tickets for Rock Worcester Mad Cool Festival and NOS Alive Festival are on sale now, with ticket information for Pink Pop and iDays Festival to be announced in the next coming weeks. Alter Bridge singer Miles Kennedy will release his debut solo album Year of the Tiger March 9, 2018 via Napalm Records. The new effort will be issued on CD, LP, and digital formats, produced by longtime Alter Bridge associate Michael Elvis Basket. The project sees Miles Kennedy embracing musical elements and influences he hasn't explored until this point of his career. The multi-instrumentalist played lap steel, mandolin, banjo, and bass, in addition to the guitar on the record, to create what is called a new sonic canvas that some might consider a departure from the high-gain wall of sound Kennedy has been associated with in his time with Alter Bridge and his work with Slash's solo career. For many years before Slash and Axel buried the hatchet and were unable to do the Not In This Lifetime tour, it was Slash featuring Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators on tour. And yeah, bottom line, Miles Kennedy kicked ass touring with Slash. There were some good rock and roll shows, and at some time he thought, man, maybe this is the closest we'll ever get to seeing Guns N' Roses again. Moving on, Miles' appreciation for the blues and acoustic-based music can be heard throughout the 12-song concept record, inspired by the loss of his father when he was a child. "It's probably the closest thing to a full-on concept record that I've ever written," Kennedy told Metal Wani. "I mean, the story is congruent throughout the entire..." It basically tells the story from start to finish, and it documents when my father passed away and when I was a kid, and basically what happened after that with my mom, my brother, and I. It tells that story, so it's a full-on concept from start to finish. Year of the Tiger will mark Kennedy's solo debut, but the project actually follows a full record the singer recorded over a several-year period beginning in 2009 and mixed last year before he decided to put it on the shelf. "I'm kind of a firm believer that songs can have a shelf life with an artist," Kennedy explains, "and what happened was I'd been chipping away at the solo record for quite a while when I had time, so when I actually documented it and finished it, I had to step back and look at it with a fresh perspective and say, you know what, you got to be honest with yourself as a writer. Is this where you are now? No. And this is what you want to represent where you are now? No. That was a hard decision for me to make because there was a lot of work that went into it. Not just work, but time and money. And I just felt like regardless of that, I had to scrap and start over. So I started writing again late last year and early this year, and fortunately I had plenty of ideas to draw from. U2 launched their new album, Songs of Experience, with a performance on NBC TV's Saturday Night Live last weekend, December 2nd, and video from the program is, of course, online. On the episode, guest hosted by Lady Bird, actress and fellow Irish woman Saoirse Ronan, the band delivered the tracks American Soul and Get Out of Your Own Way from the project, which was released on Friday, December 1st. The companion to 2014 Songs of Innocence, which we were all given for free on our Apple phones if we bought them, was compiled earlier this year with a series of producers, including Jack Knife Lee and Ryan Tedder, Steve Lillywhite, Andy Barlow, and Jolion Thomas, following recording sessions in Dublin, New York, and Los Angeles. The two projects draw inspiration from a collection of poems, Songs of Innocence and Experience, by the 18th century English mystic and poet William Blake. And U2 will begin a North American tour in support of Songs of Experience in Tulsa, Oklahoma, May the 2nd. Well, if you're a fan of the blues, you might want to check out this tribute album called Strange Angels in Flight with Elmore James. It'll be coming out January 26, 2018. The tribute album to the so-called King of the Slide Guitar is timed to what would have been Elmore James's 100th birthday. Consisting of 13 tracks, the collection puts James's legendary body of work in the hands of numerous interpreters from blues, soul, country, pop, and Americana, including Keb Moe, Warren Haynes, who played with the Allman Brothers quite a bit, Billy Gibbons of ZZ Top, Tom Jones, who needs no introduction, Rodney Crowell, Betty Levette, Shelby Lynn, and Allison Maurer as well will be on that album. Elmore James died at the age of 45 in 1963 of a heart attack and never reaped the rewards of the late 60s blues revival. However, his music is a crucial bridge between generations of blues artists, from Robert Johnson, with whom Elmore James played, to Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, and beyond. Dust My Broom, although a Robert Johnson song, is best known by its interpretation by Elmore James, was later covered by ZZ Top, Canned Heat, Johnny Winter, and Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac, which is much different from Buckingham Nicks, Stevie Nicks' Fleetwood Mac. Strange Angels in Flight with Elmore James was produced by Marco Giovanno. Marco also played drums for the band Elmore's latest Broom Dusters, and the bulk of the backing material was played by his group, which also includes Rick Holmstrom on guitar, Doug Lancio on the slide guitar, Rudy Copeland on the Hammond B3 organ, Victor Krause and Larry Taylor on the bass. Well, someone else who was quite into the blues, although it was also a little bit more known at the time for being a bit of a heavy metal guitarist, a new box set dedicated to Irishman Gary Moore's blues years will be coming out, and it's out now. Blues and Beyond comprises Moore's blues studio recordings on two CDs, plus a further two CDs of newly mixed and mastered live concert recordings with two previously unheard song versions. But also included is a brand new book, I Can't Wait Until Tomorrow. 3 years in the making, I Can't Wait Until Tomorrow is the official Gary Moore biography written by acclaimed music writer Harry Shapiro, who was given exclusive access to Gary's family, friends, and musicians. The press release says Gary never found life easy. He had demons to battle and could be his own worst enemy and made quite a few ones along the way. When he suddenly died in 2011, the outpourings of admiration and grief from fellow musicians and fans around the world was heartfelt. But as the book's author Harry Shapiro says, I would never have written a simpering hagiography. How hopefully this account will come across as an honest as the man himself. Can't wait to read it. The late Chris Cornell has received a Grammy nomination for The Promise, the title track to the 2016 film of the same name, about love triangle set against the 1914 Armenian genocide. The Soundgarden and Audioslave singer's solo tune is a finalist in the Best Rock Performance category, which will see it compete alongside songs by Foo Fighters, Leonard Cohen, Kaleo, and Nothing More. The honor is Cornell's 15th Grammy nomination. He and Soundgarden previously won twice in 1995 for a pair of tracks from the Seattle band's Super Unknown album. Spoonman was named Best Metal Performance, while Black Hole Sun picked up the Hardware for Best Hard Rock Performance. The 60th annual Grammy Awards will be broadcast live on CBS from Madison Square Garden in New York City, Sunday, January 28th. Cornell took his own life in a Detroit hotel room in the early hours of May 18th, following a Soundgarden show in Detroit at the age of 52. You know, it's only an award show, but there's plenty to talk about with the 2018 Grammy nominations. Away from the rock and metal nominations, the list of country, Americana, and blues nominations has raised some eyebrows, as has the treatment of those genres' artists. Most notably, among the four all-genre categories that get the lion's share of Grammy attention, there is not one country or Americana-based artist or record. Maybe it's been a poor year sales, and most critics say otherwise, though, but you have to go back to 1994 to find a year where no country act got a top nod. You could spin that fact all ways, though. Due to hip-hop's R&B dominance in the main categories, rock doesn't get a look in a lot of these top record, artist, album categories either. Still, with so many categories, the Grammys is the sort of show where nearly everyone's a winner, right? Many observers think the Rolling Stones already have the traditional blues award sewn up because, well, they are the Rolling Stones, right? And this could indeed be the last time. And Greg Allman's Southern Blood looks a favorite in Americana, but not just because the legend died last year. It also happens to be an absolutely superb album. Jason Isbell has a strong showing, too, but the still remarkable Derek Trucks once again gets a nod in contemporary blues. Oh, well. I think we all find the music that we like, and award shows are, yeah, they're kind of nice. Well, something that's also nice is high-end collectible guitars, and a new feature that lists the best top-end guitars over $2,700. Music Radar has featured no less than six high-end Gibson models, calling them luxury electrics worth investing in. The article explores a world's worth of tone woods, exacting hardware specifications, and incredible custom builds. First up was the Alex Lifeson Signature ES Les Paul, which Music Radar describes as a signature model full of character at an appealing price. The Gibson ES-335 Premier figured from Gibson's Memphis division is acoustically louder, open, and with more clarity. Reviewing the Gibson True Historic 1960 Les Paul Murphy Age, the article raves that Gibson has done it once again and made its reissues even more enticing. They lavish praise on the Gibson Custom 1959 Les Paul Standard reissue, stating, "If you ever watched or listened to Jimmy Page, Paul Kossoff, Eric Clapton, Peter Green, or Billy Gibbons with misty eyes, or any of the other burst-toting guitar gods in their prime, this guitar will stir something deep inside you." Well, as promised, Christmas has come early for Neil Young fans. The legendary Hall of Fame rocker opened his archival streaming website where his entire catalog can be listened to for free. All of Neil Young's solo work is posted on the archives, as is music he made with Buffalo Springfield, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, and Crazy Horse. Serious Neil Young fans will be most interested in the 10 unreleased albums posted to the archive, as well as a handful of previously unreleased films. These are projects I did not release at the time for one reason or another, and many of the songs subsequently appeared on other albums as the years flew past, Young shared about the newly revealed material. The archive is designed to be a living document, constantly evolving and including every new recording and film as it is made. It is not yet complete, and we are still adding a lot of detail to the older recordings. Lady Gaga's Joanne tour stopped in Houston on Sunday, and instead of chilling at a hotel until showtime, the pop star spent her day volunteering to support hurricane relief efforts. Gaga's Born This Way Foundation helped a resident named Pamela tackle mold and water damage at her home, which occurred after Hurricane Harvey hit. Before the hashtag Joanne World Tour Houston tonight, me and BTW Foundation teamed with Team Rubicon to do some demolition due to water damage and mold remediation in Pamela's house from Hurricane Harvey, Lady Gaga wrote on the Twitter. Gaga also shared a photo of herself getting her hands dirty alongside other volunteers. The foundation tweeted a video of the pop star founder breaking down a wall with a sledgehammer. Recovering physically, mentally, emotionally from natural disasters takes time, and the work isn't over yet, the foundation wrote. Thanks, Team Rubicon, for inviting our co-founder, Lady Gaga, to volunteer today in Houston. So, nice to see big stars giving back, especially to fans who have been supporting them for quite some time, as we seems like each and every day a new event happens that we turn our attention to, but there are still events that happened months ago, years ago, that are still being dealt with each and every day by individuals who were there. Looking at Houston, still looking at Puerto Rico, which might not even be able to hear anything on HealthyLife.net with no electricity and power, stuff like that. Folks in Florida, currently here in Southern California, the Ventura County wildfires are burning pretty bad and out of control on the heels of the Santa Rosa fires. So we are always trying to help out our fellow man, our feather brother and sister, if you will. And for some reason, music seems to be at the top of the list, always giving back, always donating time, and always getting together, raising funds in these certain times. Definitely must appreciate our musical artists and music in general for the healing effect and the healing power that it does have for all of us global citizens. I'm Jake Cruz, having a good time today, Friday, December 8th on Backbeat Radio. If you tune in late, you can always go to the podcast on-demand link and get caught up. Download a copy, share it with a friend. We'll be back in a few moments on Backbeat Radio with more music news. Backbeat, word on the street today.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
And let's continue. Backbeat Radio, Backbeat, word on the street, and a lot of music news today as we wrap up 2017 in our December show, coming to you live today, December 8th, 2017. Obviously, well, it's tough to talk about December 8th without some of the significant impact in music history on December 8th. Number one, birthday of Jim Morrison, Mr. Mojo Rising, singer of The Doors, and his birthday, December 8th. Obviously, the date that many people do remember is John Lennon, 1980, shot in New York City by Mark David Chapman, and pretty much an impact on nearly everybody paying attention to music and pop culture, and kind of a lot of loss of innocence on that day. I remember watching the Monday night football game, because it happened to be on a Monday that night, so a lot of people, like myself, heard the news from Howard Cosell, not exactly someone you go to for your rock and roll source of information, but Howard Cosell was on Monday night football when the news was happening, and I'm pretty sure it was a New England Patriots game hosting the Miami Dolphins. This is back when the Dolphins were kind of a potential Super Bowl powerhouse each and every year, as opposed to the Patriots being a Super Bowl powerhouse just about each and every year this year. Ironically, this coming Monday, the New England Patriots will be playing the Miami Dolphins. It's going to be the 11th of December, but almost 27 years to the day, same teams playing on the same day. It's one of those strange coincidences in the schedule. And another bit of music tragedy happened on this day. Back in the early 2000s, Columbus, Ohio, the band Damage Plan was playing. Might not be a household name. Two of the members of that band, former members of Pantera, the Abbott brothers, Vinnie Paul Abbott on drums, and his brother, Dimebag Darrell Abbott on guitar, where Dimebag was shot by a fan at that show. And he also shot many other people in the audience and was eventually shot himself on December 8th back in Columbus, Ohio this day. So this is kind of a big day in music history, and just wanted to continue the show and definitely mention those big things that did happen on this day in history many years ago, many times. Not to really dwell on those things, but certainly need to mention them, especially on the day that everyone will be bringing them up somewhere along the way. Continuing with some good news that just recently happened for those that voted or check out the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Some of the results from the fan polls are in of the nominees, and Judas Priest are among five acts that have earned support from fans as part of the 2018 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame fan vote. The Metal Icons landed fifth with a little over 500,000 votes, 538,508 to be exact, fan votes in the poll. That was topped by Bon Jovi, which pretty much doubled that, a 1,162,146, followed by the Moody Blues in second place with just under a million at 947,795. Dire Straits finished third, 613,749, and the Cars, happy to see them get in the top five. They finished at number four with a little over half a million at 552,733. Now, each of the fan vote winners will receive an extra vote in the official vote by Rock Hall members. Judas Priest are among 19 nominees vying for induction into the 2018 Rock Hall. "This is our Oscars," said singer frontman Rob Halford in an interview with Billboard magazine. "When the nominations come up and the inductions come up, you often wonder that it would feel like if you were able to be on stage at that moment, making an acceptance speech, and particularly having the pleasure to be in the company of all the other musicians and industry people. So, yeah, if we do get in, it'll be an absolute dream come true moment. Fingers crossed, as they say." With more on the fan votes, Bon Jovi took the top spot for the 2018 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, another classic rock's acts faring well, and the ultimate vote will be coming up very soon. The fan votes don't actually determine which nominees will be inducted into the Rock Hall. In fact, the fan votes collectively count as just one of the approximately 800 ballots that figure into the inductee selection process. So each of the top five acts receives one vote. However, the fan vote has been a good litmus test for past winners, such as Kiss, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Chicago, Journey. They were all top of the Hall of Fame fan votes when they were inducted as well. Well, Stone Temple Pilots will be heading out on the road pretty soon. New album, new singer, and members of that band and Def Leppard have in the past formed a supergroup called Delta Deep, and they've announced they'll be releasing their second album, East Coast Live, coming up January 26. Giving fans an early taste of what it is to come with the release of the lyric video for the new album's first single, Bless the Blues, which can be streamed online. The group includes Def Leppard's Phil Collin, Stone Temple Pilots' Robert DeLio on bass, Debbie Blackwell Cook, backup vocalist for such artists as Michael Bublé and Gregory Hines, and Forrest Robinson, and drummer for Joe Sample and the Crusaders, India, RE, and TLC. So Delta Deep, their second album, will be coming out in January. Very interesting that it's kind of almost pure blues, something you almost wouldn't expect from Def Leppard guitarists. So well known for their harmonic or vocal harmonies and pop hooks in a metal sense there. Well, this week, John Mayer took to his social media sites on Wednesday to update fans as he recovered from surgery after being rushed to the hospital for an emergency appendectomy earlier this week. That forced the Grateful Dead, Dead & Company, to postpone a handful of concerts. Mayer tweeted fans, "Thank you for everyone for the well wishes. Had surgery yesterday and woke up to see some amazingly kind and loving tweets. I'm so sorry that we couldn't finish out the last few dates of the tour. This band and these shows mean the world to me. Love you all dearly." Now, Dead & Company also updated fans. The Grateful Dead offshoot shared the following updates. Now, Dead & Company concert scheduled for this week, December 7th in Orlando, Florida, and today in Sunrise, Florida, in addition to the December 5th show in New Orleans, have all been postponed. Tickets for those shows will be honored for the rescheduled dates, and information on the rescheduled concerts will be announced as soon as possible. Should ticket holders choose to seek a refund, they will be available at the point of purchase. Well, good news for Stone Sour fans overseas in the UK that may have missed the band on their current tour across Europe. The group announced they'll be returning for a series of shows in the UK next spring. Stone Sour announced their June 2018 return to England via Twitter on Wednesday, which seemed to be a big day for tweets in the rock and roll world. Stone Sour tweeted, "UK, you've been amazing. We'll be coming back to see you all again in June for our only UK shows of 2018. Frontman Corey Taylor added, "We're excited to return to the UK for a second time in support of Hydrograd. These are Stone Sour's only UK dates in 2018, and we're happy to include two cities we didn't play in December. Stone Sour are building towards our future, so come out in June and have a good time with us." Now, the new dates will include stops in Manchester, London, and Nottingham, and follow their upcoming North American tour plans, which include a co-headlining tour with Hailstrom and some headline shows that will feature support from Red Sun Rising and the Dead Deeds. Well, stop me if you have heard this before, but unreleased songs recorded by Jimi Hendrix between 1968 and 1970 will appear on Both Sides of the Sky. That's a new album set for release on March 9th, 2018. It'll be a 13-track project and includes 10 unreleased Jimi Hendrix tunes, marking the third volume in a trilogy from the Guitar Icons Archive, following 2010's Valleys of Neptune and 2013's People, Hell, and Angels. Many of the album's tracks were recorded by the Band of Gypsies, Hendrix's trio with Buddy Miles on drums, or Buddy Miles and Billy Cox. Johnny Winter appears on Things I Used to Do. Original Jimi Hendrix Experience members Mitch Mitchell on drums and Noel Redding on bass are featured on Hear My Train A-Comin', and Lonnie Youngblood appears on George Blues. Both Sides of the Sky was produced by Eddie Kramer alongside John McDermott and Janie Hendrix, the guitarist's sister and president of Experience Hendrix, which is the, I guess, company name for the Hendrix estate. Jimmy's true home was the studio, and that's where the music and the magic happens, said Eddie Kramer. He loved everything about recording, and it's been my distinct pleasure and an honor to play a part in that process both then and now. The first thing is you put the tape on and you listen to it, and the hairs just stand up right on the back of your neck, and you go, oh, my God, this is very incredible. It's an incredible thing. 40, 50 years later, here we are, and I'm listening to these tapes thinking, oh, my God, what an amazing performance. And it was amazing just to watch him in the studio or live, said Eddie Kramer. Now, the brain kicks off the thought process. It goes through his brain, through his heart, and through his hands, and into the guitar. And it's a seamless process. It's like a lead guitar and a rhythm guitar at the same time. Scary talented. And there's never been another Jimi Hendrix, at least in my mind. That's a direct quote from his producer, Eddie Kramer, who oversaw the forthcoming new release of unreleased Jimi Hendrix music. We'll be back in a moment. Backbeat Radio, Backbeat Word on the Street, and a whole lot of music news today with your friend Jay Cruz on HealthyLife.net Radio.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And let's continue Backbeat Radio today, December 8th, 2017, with yours truly, Jay Cruz, Backbeat Word on the Street, and a whole lot of music news today. Continuing with news about Debbie Harry, she's reunited with another Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member, Joan Jett, for Blondie's latest music video, Doom or Destiny, which is taken from Blondie's most recent album, Pollinator. That's the 11th studio effort from the band. The clip stars Debbie Harry and Joan Jett as anchors on a fictitious cable news show, while a barrage of cultural commentary flashes across the screen over the hectic throwback pop-punk track. We wanted to comment on the bizarre state of media and news in the current political idiocracy, which we are watching play out in real time, and create our own news channel that dealt with current issues such as the environmental collapse, fossil fuels, bee population decline, global warming, sexism, patriarchy, Trump and Russia, feminism, consumerism, and the marketing of war and more, said Debbie Harry in a press statement. Now, Blondie, Debbie, Chris, Clem, and everybody have been my friends for more decades than I care to admit, said Joan Jett. They have their own style, and we were pioneers of the modern age of punk and rock. They all came out in the 70s. I'm proud that you have been invited to contribute to Doom or Destiny. I love the music, and I really love the message. In trying times, we try harder, said Blondie's Chris Stein. Politics have become the new pop culture phenomena, but it seems the current landscape of music videos has so little to do with true protest or some kind of social message, like it used to. It can be truthful, but irreverent, fun, and funny. Now, the punk-style protest is somewhat removed from today's modern music. That's the opinions of folks who were there when things were obviously happening back in the 70s as well. Well, Ozzy Osbourne's farewell tour is set to kick off in 2018, and now we have his second major U.S. tour date of the year. Ozzy will headline the 2018 Rock Fort Festival along with Godsmack, which will take place April 28th through April 29th in Sunrise, Florida. As for the other Aussie 2018 dates, the Welcome to Rockville Festival, which is scheduled for April 27th, 28th, and 29th, 2018 in Jacksonville, Florida. That's a lot of metal love for Aussie in the Sunshine State. Well, the 2018 Fort Rock Festival will also feature Five Finger Death Punch, Shinedown, Breaking Benjamin, Stone Sour, Hailstrom, Stone Temple Pilots, Bullet for My Valentine, Pop Evil, Seven Dust, Killswitch Engine, Trivium, and Hollywood Undead, to name a handful. The Fort Rock performance is part of Ozzy's official farewell tour, which will run into 2020. It's going to be a long goodbye. People keep asking me when I'm retiring, Osborne said in an official statement. And this will be my final world tour, but I can't say I won't do some shows here and there. With the recent release of Carry Fire, the 11th studio album from Robert Plant, he's put out more albums than his famed previous band you might have heard of, Led Zeppelin. Still, Robert Plant's career as the lead singer of the band that pioneered modern hard rock music will always overshadow everything else he does. Zeppelin is pretty huge. It's hard to escape the shadow that was pretty big. Even though it's been almost four decades since Zeppelin disbanded, Plant was recently asked about a potential 2018 reunion in an interview on Team Rock. His answer, all these magazines and internet platforms should be supporting new music and help new musicians to find an audience instead of dwelling on the old crap all the time. It's like there's nothing new and exciting out there anymore, when in fact there is. So stop living in the past. Open your ears and your eyes. It's not that difficult, is it? So Robert Plant's not at all keen on the idea of writing his memoirs either, so we won't get a tell-all book. He recalls that his bandmates and him were, well, social deviants, pushed out to the corners of society, and that we were representing a challenge to the order. So do we want to chum up and cuddle up to the whole idea of going to a publisher and telling stories? I mean, what and who for? Those stories are locked nicely between my two ever-growing ear holes, so it ain't gonna happen. There's a lot in there, and that's where it's staying. If you do want to catch some salacious details of the Led Zeppelin happenings, you can always find that book, Hammer of the Gods, written largely in part by their tour manager at the time, Richard Cole. And it tells a lot of stuff. That's one you can get, and we don't really need a Robert to go out and tell anything out we haven't already read, because there was quite a bit exposed in that book, if you will. Well, due to high demand, Jeff Lynne's Electric Light Orchestra, simply known as ELO, have announced that they have added some additional dates to their first North American tour in over 30 years, which will take place next summer. The newly added dates include a new stop in the Yes! Los Angeles area at the Forum August 5th, following the previously announced show that'll be taking place August 4th. A second New York City show has also been added. The band will be playing an additional show at Madison Square Garden August 22nd, following the already announced concert the previous night. The summer tour will be kicking off August 2nd in Oakland at the Oracle Arena, home of the Warriors, and wrap up August 24th in Philadelphia, home of the 76ers at the Wells Fargo Center. Jeff Lynne had these comments, "Our audiences are amazing. It's like they're in the group, and we can't wait to play for them again." So ELO summer tour dates, August 2018, kicking off in Oakland, two shows in L.A. at the Forum on the 4th and 5th of August, then on to Denver on the 8th, Houston August 10th, August 13th they'll be in Dallas, August 15th at the Rosemont, Illinois All-State Arena, home of the Bulls in Chicago, Thursday August 16th in Detroit, Saturday August 18th in Toronto, and then Tuesday, August 21st, and Wednesday, August 22nd in New York, followed by Friday, the 24th in Philadelphia. Well, this week, Beach Boys' Mike Love was doing a special free in-store performance at Amoeba Music in Los Angeles to celebrate his newly released solo double album. I was here working, but nonetheless, fans took part, and Unleash the Love came out. The event took place Wednesday, December 6th, where Mike Love and special guest took a small stage and played songs from his new album along with, of course, beloved Beach Boy classics. And if you happen to be in the L.A. area, check out Amoeba Records in Hollywood for shows just like these. They seem to have these better every week, every other week or so, and they usually take place in the early to late afternoon, early evening, somewhere between the hours of 4 and 6, and oftentimes You get to see some great stuff. Most recently, Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes has been there. Mike Love, Snoop Dogg did a book signing. So there's always some good stuff happening there. Following the performance, there was an album signing for fans who purchased Unleash the Love in store on the day of the event. Purchasers also received a limited edition Mike Love Live at Amoeba poster commemorating the show. Mike Love's Amoeba music performance is free and open to all ages. So that was good times had there. You know, with all the hullabaloo and harassment in the Hollywood going on in the news and people getting fired and stuff, what's obviously making its way around in some of the music business as well, as sometimes music and film do cross paths and some of these folks are working together. One in this case, director Bryan Singer. He responded to being fired from the forthcoming biopic about the late Queen frontman Freddie Mercury, the movie titled Bohemian Rhapsody. After being relieved of his duties for unprofessional behavior, the director Singer claims that Fox Movie Studios wouldn't allow him time off from the film to care for a sick parent. He said, "I wanted nothing more than to be able to finish this project and help honor the legacy of Freddie Mercury and Queen, but Fox would not permit me to do so because I needed to temporarily put my health and the health of my loved ones first," Singer said in The Hollywood Reporter. "Now, Bohemian Rhapsody is a passion project of mine," he continued. "With fewer than 3 weeks to shoot remaining, I asked Fox for some time off so I could return to the U.S. to deal with pressing health matters concerning one of my parents. This was a very taxing experience, which ultimately took a serious toll on my own health. Unfortunately, the studio was unwilling to accommodate me and terminated my services. This was not my decision, and it was beyond my control." Now, the firing came after reports of friction between Singer and lead actor Rami Malek, who's portraying Queen's Freddie Mercury in the movie. So there you go. Legendary producer and Chic guitarist Nile Rodgers shared that he expects to make a 100% recovery after having cancer surgery earlier this year. Rodgers made the revelation in a new blog post where he explained how a bout of food poisoning while Chic was on tour with Earth, Wind & Fire this year led to doctors finding cancer. The illness caused him to miss Chic shows for the first time ever. A show. After having surgery in August, the producer said that his prognosis is a 100% recovery. Rodgers successfully battled a previous cancer diagnosis earlier this decade. And Justin Timberlake was on hand to present scholarships to female students during the Hollywood Reporter's Women in Entertainment Breakfast, which took place on Wednesday, December 6th. During the speech, Timberlake praised his mother and wife, but also had a message for the men in the room. "To the men in this room, I look around and I see a lot of great men who I also look up to. I think we actually are here because we deserve the opportunity to speak up, to say when something is not right," he said. And continuing, Timberlake said, "We need to get on board. It's not our responsibility, it's our privilege," he continued. Speaking up and supporting women's rights. Well, considering the waves of attention Ed Sheeran continues to receive for his most recent album, Divide, it's not too surprising he was the most streamed artist on Spotify 2017. The singer received an overall whopping 6.3 billion streams of his music worldwide, and he also earned Spotify's most streamed album. Kudos. Divide was streamed 3.1 billion times this year. In addition, Sheeran took top stream song honors with Shape of You, which was listened to 1.4 billion times. Now, a female artist didn't fare as well in the most streamed artist list. No woman ranked in either top five albums or singles categories. Rihanna was the most streamed female performer of the year, followed by Taylor Swift, Selena Gomez, Ariana Grande, and Sia. Dr. Ralph Stanley, The Judds, Emmylou Harris, and Little Big Town are among the artists that are scheduled to be featured at the Country Music Hall of Fame in 2018. We started talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at the top of the show, and we'll wrap it up with the Nashville Country Music Institution and the Hall of Fame, which announced its full slate of exhibits for next year, which kicks off March 9th with American Currents, the music of 2017, featuring Brothers Osborne, Kanye Brown, Eric Church. That's Kane Brown, not Kanye Brown. Luke Combs, Maren Morris, Randy Travis, who's been in the news recently, and Chris Young. And they're among the artists featured in the contemporary show. Little Big Town will be featured in an exhibit launching June 29th, followed by a display spotlighting Dr. Ralph Stanley, which starts on the 13th of July. And that's just about going to wrap up Backbeat Radio today. We'll be back in one moment to say goodbye.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And thanks for tuning in to Backbeat Radio, Backbeat Word on the Street today. A whole lot of music news. We'll be back, of course, in January 2018 and back on the second Friday each and every month here on HealthyLife.net Radio. Jake Cruz about to sign off. If you get a chance to look for some rock and roll documentaries over the upcoming holiday vacation while you're sitting at home enjoying maybe some new electronic devices or taking time during the winter break here, check out the movie Hired Gun. Just came to Netflix. It had been on Amazon and iTunes for better part of this year and is now available on Netflix for subscribers there. Hired Gun's kind of a movie about a lot of musicians that end up filling places in bands who all of a sudden they have either a musician leaves and they need to be replaced. Sometimes people step in when tragedy strikes, and a couple members of that are featured in the movie prominently include Brad Gillis, who stepped in for Randy Rhoads, who would have been 61 this week. He stepped in and pinch hit for Randy on the Ozzy Osbourne tour at a time when you think, you know, maybe they should just cancel the tour, but they were kind of moving at such a big pace right there. It would have been a financial disaster to have done that. So a lot of times bands just forge on, show must go on type of thing. Hired Gun is the name of the movie. Talks about a lot of different people. All genres of music, too, even includes some stories about the Billy Joel band and how one time they were extremely tight, and then, well, sometimes money and the music business can separate people later on. But Hired Gun, definitely recommended, highly recommended, 4 out of 4 stars, if that's what we're looking for that. I'm Jay Cruz. Thanks for supporting Backbeat Radio this year and every year, and, of course, HealthyLife.net Radio. We'll be back in 2018. Thanks for listening.